And that question's very valid, isn't it? Because it seems like most people do. At least that's how we seem to live day by day. We live as if we'll always be here. We make long-term plans, rarely thinking that we'll actually never be around to fulfill them. We get older externally as the years go by, but we never seem to get older inside, internally. I'm 52 outside, but inside I still think young and I feel young. I'm kind of ageless inside. We age outside, but we don't seem to age inside. Our bodies become increasingly restricted, and we end up having to face the fact that we just can't do all we used to, or if we can, it takes a lot longer to recover. But inside, we wonder why our bodies don't work anymore. Because inside, that sense of age isn't really there. We just are. We are in a state of being. We're as young inside as we were when we were a kid. It's our outer faculties that let us down and make us feel tired and weary. It's a strange dilemma that goes on within the human being. 2 Corinthians 4:16 puts it well, although it's talking about Christians, it's still actually probably true in essence of everyone. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day, meaning, I'm taking it to mean, it doesn't really mean this, that outwardly we're aging, but inwardly we're always the same. Inside, we are immortal. Inside, we do not age. We only age outside. So it takes almost a whole lifetime to come to terms with getting old outside. And it's even more difficult to come to terms with the fact that we will die one day. And we're told, aren't we, that we're in control of our own destiny. And we begin to believe it because we live like we are. Often some people say, I'm not planning on popping my clogs anytime soon. I'm not going anywhere. I'll always be here for you. Then something happens which you just can't control. A strange lump appears. You go for your daily walk, as Mike, our friend, did this week, and you have a heart attack. Then what? Or a routine test finds something nasty. And suddenly everything changes. And you have to face up to the truth that you have a sell-by date. That your days are numbered. And even then, in the light of all that, because in theory we all know that, it's still easy to live in denial. No one likes to think of their death, do they? You live as if you're never going to die. Yet in the background, actually, death is nagging away and nagging away, and one day it will come to your door, knock on it, and take you. Well, Jesus tells a story about a rich man who gets even richer, and he becomes the man who's got absolutely everything. He's already rich, but now he's got so much he doesn't even have enough room for it all. And he goes for bigger and better. And Luke 12:18 tells us, then the man said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. There I will store all my grain and my goods. I'll have everything, he says. I'll never have to work again. I'll never have a mortgage again. Then I'll be happy. Then I'll have arrived. And I'll say to myself in verse 19, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Now, this is so bang up to date. We do the lottery so we don't have to work again. Work appears to be a curse to us, even though it's not designed to be that. We want to be able to live like the rich. We follow celebs, thinking, if only I had the life they have, everything would be just fine. What have you and I been led to believe? That I'll be complete when I have everything that this world has to offer, when I have no money worries, when I have no security worries. Jesus says, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. I'll never have to worry about money again. Now, I'd like that, wouldn't you? I'd like not to have a mortgage. I'd like never have to worry about money again. But that never happens. Robbie Williams has 100 million in the bank, I'm told on good authority. And he worries about money every single day. Ozzy Osbourne saw this documentary about him the other day. He can't understand why he's still alive at 60 years of age. He should have died 1,000 deaths, what he put into his body, what he did to his body. He's tried everything, he has everything, and still he hasn't got a clue, he says, about what life's all about and what it means. He's as empty as he was in the first time he ever took his first breath. Freddie Mercury asked the question, who wants to live forever? Yet when he wrote it, he knew he can't. That's what it was about. And he was right, because now he's dead. The other thing many people think is they store all this stuff up now, and then they think, I've got loads of time left. I've got loads of time to enjoy it. This is what this man thought. Just when he thinks he's got the rest of his life to have a whale of a time, God says to him, you fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then, who will get what you have prepared for yourself? He was to realize, to his absolute ruin, that God decides how long you've got. Nobody else, God. Dave Apps, good friend of mine, drinking buddy on the old days, very, very good looking. Very annoying. We'd be standing at the bar, and there'd be all these attractive women looking over, and I'd think, ooh, they're clocking me. And I'd say to Dave, oh, look, they're all after me. He'd go to the toilet, and they'd all look away. It's the story of my life. There's only one wonderful woman that never did look away. She wished she had, but she didn't. Dave Apps, good looking, had any woman he wanted, money in his pocket, partying every night. I used to do it with him. He had his whole life ahead of him. His girlfriend drives him home from a party. He's drunk, so is she. She smashes into a parked car. She escapes with a broken thumb. His head is smashed to pieces on the dashboard. The machine is switched off 2 days later. He's gone in a flash. He was 23. You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? Life is unpredictable, it's fragile, and it's short. Eddie, another good friend of mine, 33, moves to Holland to become an anaesthetist. Great money, good career ahead of him. Few months into the job, everything's going well. Bang, head-on collision with another car, gone in an instant. Along with his career, his money, and his dreams. Dead as a doornail, no more Eddie, 33. Gone. James says this, why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You see, Dave wasn't in control. Eddie wasn't in control. You're not in control. You never were. You never will be. And you and I never know when God will say to you, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have worked so hard for yourself for? God calls time on you. He chooses the time of your death, and that is one appointment that you will never, ever be late for. And since life truly hangs in the balance, because life is so uncertain, so fragile, taken away at any time, wouldn't you really want to be safe? Wouldn't you want to prepare for that day instead of shelving away the fact that you just never want to talk about death? Difference is with a Christian, they're happy to talk about death any time you like because it's a happy business. If you live as if God doesn't exist now, he will live as if you don't exist then. And you don't want that to happen, believe me. Jesus says in 21, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. Jesus says, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? You see, that sense of agelessness inside is agelessness. Human beings are immortal. You have a beginning, but no end. But you are going to live forever. Your aging body will die, but your soul lives on. Bible says he's made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of everyone. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. That's right. You talk to the man on the street, he ain't got a clue about that. And yet he knows somehow he's going to live forever. When I worked in theatre, operating theatre, we lost a man on the table and he bled out. There's nothing we could do. And I found myself alone with the dead man, just waiting for the nurse to come so that they could lay him out. His eyes were staring straight ahead of him into space. And I knew, I wasn't a Christian then at all. I just looked at him and I just said, "Where have you gone?" I could not accept the fact that he had ceased to exist. He'd left his shell behind, but he'd moved on. You see, you and I live like you'll live forever because you will. And you know that when your body dies, it's not the end of you. And if you haven't trusted Jesus, you're afraid of death because deep down you know that there's a God and you know that there's a judgment. And you have to get ready for that day, the day of your death. And you have to think about it now. It's too late then. Jesus took the judgment of God for all human sin upon himself on the cross. He's willing to pay the price for your sin and take the judgment away from you. But you have to come and ask him. It's no use saying, "I know there's eternity in my heart, but I can't fathom God from beginning to end." God has now showed you what to do. So will you not come to him if you haven't already, boys, girls, men, women? Will you not come to him and be saved? Would you not like to have all the guilt of your past washed away? Now, some of you are Christians, and yet you're still burdened down with guilt. Why is that? Because you're not believing that the guilt has been washed away. But the fact is, it has been washed away, but you struggle with it because you don't believe and receive and accept it. And some of you are Christians, and you've got a clean slate, but you don't feel like you have a clean slate because you allow sin to bog you down. You do have a bright future. You no longer need to be afraid of your own death. But you have to fully trust in Christ and lean on him. But if you still haven't trusted Christ, boy or girl, man or woman, right here today, because I can't see into your soul, then come to Christ right here, right now. Come to know the eternal life. Store up for yourself. You know, we're so materialistic, like this guy, aren't we? As John mentioned a bit earlier, bigger and better, bigger and better. And then he said, when you see the glory of Christ, you see Christ face to face, you don't think, "Oh, I wish I'd bought an Audi." Now, some of you have got Audis. There's no problem with having an Audi. If you've got a spare Audi, I'll have it. But at the end of the day, what's our focus? We store up for ourselves Audis, big houses, this, that, and the other. And that becomes the be-all and end-all. And we forget that we have to be storing up eternal riches. And we invest far, far too much and focus far, far too much on all this rubbish down here where moth and rust can destroy and thieves can break in and steal. And we forget all about the heavenly riches that we're supposed to be building up down here by trusting Christ, putting him first, loving him first, and being generous with what we have. We've got to worship the giver, not the gift. And that's what Jesus says when he says that will be that's how it will be. Everybody's life will be taken away from them. That's how it will be with those who are not rich towards God. That's what he's talking about. They're rich towards themselves. They're accumulating stuff when really they should be living for him and putting him first and loving him first and being generous and giving away stuff. That is the eternal investment. The eternal investment which can never ever be taken away. Is only found in Jesus Christ. That's who we need to refocus. I don't know whether there's any non-Christians here. I'm talking to Christians now. We need to refocus. We need to wake up. We need to sort ourselves out. We need to be not so earthbound, far more heavenly bound. And we have to put in now what we will have rewarded in eternity. It's a long-term investment. It's not a fast track to pleasure down here. Eternal pleasures last forever. Other pleasures are just temporary here. But the key thing is, for all you materialists out there, and I'm one of them, worship the giver and not the gift. Because as soon as you shift your focus, you're exactly like this rich man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have just reminded us that actually a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions or his desire for an abundance of possessions. But it actually does totally, in the final analysis, consist of you and all that you are. And we only really find ourselves when we find ourselves in you. And Lord, I just pray for each one of us here that we will refocus, that we will be sure that we're trusting Jesus, that we will know that we're certain now so that we can be certain then, and that we will spend the rest of our days storing up wealth for eternity, not just focusing on wealth down here. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is the hope that is so sure. That's our final song. A promise so secure. The mystery of God at last made known. Treasures so vast appear. All wisdom, knowledge here. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory.